listener production.
Well, Ham, this is our remembering project.
Yep, where a random day of the year is selected and we look up the run sheets from all our shows from across the years to find any we did on that day.
Over 20 years, that's about 2,500 shows and roughly 26,000 talk breaks. Today, we pick one. One talk break only and try to remember what happened based on what was written down on the run sheet from that day.
As always, we've got podcast Mike with us here for any technical stuff.
Hello.
Mike, what date was randomly chosen today?
It's the 8th of March.
Okay then, it's Haim's go. Here's Mike with the sponsorship stuff before we find out what year Haim will take us back to and see if we remember anything from that day.
This is Hamish and Andy's Remembering Project.
Remembering Project. Thanks very much, guys. Welcome to another episode. It's just good music. It's catchy intro music.
Yeah. I don't think that's matching what we've had, though. No.
Do you remember when? Walking down memory lane.
That was what you put forward, but it didn't make it. We just went with like kind of polite, calm jazz. Like pondering stuff.
Okay. Well, I haven't listened to many episodes for a while. I wasn't sure which selection we'd gone to. Hey, March 8, Ando, what a day.
Yep.
Not a ton of selections over the years from March 8th, which we've picked up on a bit from Marches, which is an interesting fact. A couple of historic things happened. One thing I wanted to bring up was as we go back through these shows, and it's fun because we always get the run sheet, right? Yeah. And it always tells you what was on. And you're flicking through and sometimes you're looking at other years' run sheets. Tell you who's someone we had on more than we thought. There's a couple of people that just keep popping up. Like, I think we've mentioned it before, Natalie Bassingthwaite.
Danny Minogue and then Jason, what's his name? Coleman.
Yeah, the judge from So You Think You Can Dance. Just obviously came along.
Available.
Available.
Willing and available.
And you know what? Radio shows and stuff in general, they go through cycles. Every 6 months, like, you have a meeting. Yeah. How's the show going? Where are we going? What are we like?
And I'd probably say at some point we went less Jason Coleman.
Well, I reckon it goes in
not
waves.
Not specifically, but like
the mood would have been there. It does go in waves.
With all due respect to Jason as well, it's just like I just don't think we needed an update on how people were dancing so often.
Yeah, but I reckon more broadly it was more like less guests. And then 6 months later it'd be like, we need more guests. Yeah. Like, we're having fun with guests. And then it'd be like, too many guests. Let's like back on those guests. So you do go in waves. One person.
Do you remember? I mean,
probably not.
I hope I'm not stepping on.
I doubt. I mean, step away.
But
I'm not precious about any of this.
We, Natalie Grzelinski, is that her name?
Oh, yeah. No, this is not what, I remember what you're going to say and this is not what I'm bringing up.
Natalie Grzelinski, who's from Farmer Wants a Wife. And I think she may have been Getaway back.
And various Network 9 shows. Was a go-to host for Channel 9.
Did
a great job.
Great host, great person. She was offered for the show for, I think, Farmer Wants a Wife. And we went, yeah.
We were busy. And again, you talk about these waves. One of the rules that we cared about for a hot second was like, nah, we just want them in studio. Yeah. Guests have got to come in. Could look them in the eyes. You can have more fun.
Because it was too hard on the phone. You couldn't.
Well, we'd rather just talk about other stuff than do stuff over the phone. So they're like, okay. That was probably just a whim and we were eating Nando's and bored in a meeting and we decided to make a rule.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Natalie Grzelinski was on the show and it had obviously got back. You can come on the show, but you must be in the studio.
We hadn't thought about it. These things get booked like 3 weeks in advance.
The difference being it had been communicated to her that she specifically had to be there rather than us just musing that in general all human beings should be in the studio.
Yeah, we'd prefer it if people were in the studio. She's taken it as Natalie must be in the studio.
Someone at Channel 9's told her you have to be in the studio.
So she's arrived and we're like, oh, gee, Nat's here. We've got to think of what we should do. We're walking to the studio and she goes.
You know, we were very unprepared. It was B minus.
She goes, very nervous. And I'm like, why? She goes, well, what have you prepared for me? Because I've been flown down for this.
Flown all the way from Sydney because I told I had to be. Told I had to be here in the studio. Like,
why would anyone? Oh, that rule we made when we were eating Nando's.
And so she's kept walking in the studio, thinking it's going to be full of farm animals or something.
And she's looking around the studio.
And Andy and I are sitting there going, "And have you ever been to a farm? Or like, you know, what's your favorite tractor?"
She definitely spent the 10 minutes that we would have spent with her going, it's coming, terrible. The prank's coming.
That was terrible.
Then she left the studio and I think she still would have been in the lift going, they're up to something.
This is good. So they've done the joke bad interview. Yeah. Now a herd of Shetland ponies bowls me over. Probably by the time she was back on the aeroplane, she would have begun to realise, yeah. I think that was just a shit interview. Do you know? Okay, so here's the person that pops up more than you would think. Sandra Bullock was on the show more than you would think.
Yeah.
I reckon she was on three times.
Great at press.
But she loves it. She was one of those people who just loved doing it and was great fun to play with. Mm. Oh, I mean, this is where we would break the must be in studio rule.
Yeah, of course.
No, phone is fine. I mean, could we come to the hotel room? Absolutely not. You'll be on the phone. We'll take it. We'll happily take it.
But she must love press because just recently for our pod, the Hamish and Andy pod, she just got offered to do it and we...
She's not even doing a movie. She's just like, how would you like me just out there talking about things?
Which is great. Yeah, she was always fun.
So that was in 2013, March 8, 2013. We had Sandra on.
Mm-hmm. What would it have been for Miss Congeniality 5 or something?
2013, yeah, tough to say. Maybe Blindside?
Oh. I reckon it might have been Gravity or Interstellar, whichever one she was
in. She wasn't in Interstellar. We'll look up Sandra Bullock 2013. That's what you meant to be hot in the case of.
I reckon it's Gravity, Mike.
The Heat, maybe The Heat. But Miss Congeniality was in 2000.
Do you know what? The Heat is more likely. Yeah, we didn't.
They probably did sequels to Miss Congeniality.
Though. No, possibly. But again, and we've been over this rule before. Yeah. Gravity, I think, won an Oscar.
Yeah.
You don't get stars for Oscars. We got people in Australia get offered celebrities for movies that aren't doing well.
Yeah.
They're not sending someone for Gravity. They're fine. There's Oscar buzz about Gravity. Yeah.
Well, she did two films in 2013, The Heat and Gravity.
Okay. So she plays, that's part of being an actress, isn't it? And playing all end of the spectrum. I think it was a comedy. I think it was a buddy cop comedy, The Heat.
Oh, with Melissa McCarthy?
I think it could have been.
That was what it was.
I was also producing Cornwater at that stage. My idea to take on coconut water, just the water from tins of corn. Which did have some nutritional benefit.
Yes.
But it wasn't...
Tasty.
It didn't quench the thirst.
No.
It didn't slake the thirst the way that a coconut water does. Mm. Hogs in 2010 came on the show for Hogs Inventions, which we've covered a few times in here.
Love it.
Do you know what his invention was March 8, 2010?
No.
I won't go back into it, but just for old time's sake.
Yeah. Can you give me the field?
How do I do this without you guessing it? It was one of the biggies. It snowballed.
Jeepers. So was it, what year?
2010.
Was it a song?
Yeah. He came on.
Song about hating Mondays.
He came on and he said, I think there's time we have another song about hating Mondays, which ended up being a massive song.
That's unreal.
I've got a little bit that I want to play from that show in 2010. We have these logged on the run sheet. The things that get logged on the run sheet for people, which is everyone, hasn't seen a radio show run sheet before, basically is like a one-line thing, which be, for example, Hogs has an idea for I Hate Mondays. That's it. From like, you know, and that covers like 20 minutes of the show. The only other thing that gets logged is sponsors.
Right.
Because we have to write down in case a sponsor ever goes, hang on a sec, you didn't say the name. You can be like, oh, no, we did at 5:05. So those get, and I noticed a sponsor that was in there and I went, oh, wasn't that a fun chapter? Bailey's.
Oh, dear.
Bailey's Irish whiskey cream. Irish cream? Yeah. Irish whiskey.
Good drink.
Bloody good drink.
On a bit of ice.
Impossible. But we thought it was funny. It just somehow became a joke that because we were like, everyone knows what Bailey's is.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's a nightcap.
It's something that you might sneak into an espresso martini with a bit of Clua. We thought... Like so many people know what Bailey's is, we'll joke about how it's Australia's number one sports drink and how you come back from a run and you should pound 500 mils of Bailey's, replenish all your lost Bailey's.
More than just a nightcap, essentially. Yeah. We were just offering it and we thought Bailey's would be thrilled with this because they're going into a market that they traditionally weren't in. If you find an alternate use for a product, it normally means a great news like, for a company.
Exactly. And we're like, wouldn't this be funny if people at bars are like, I actually did do a bit of exercise today. I need a Bailey's to replenish my body.
Mike.
No.
They did not like it.
No. Comedy.
No.
No. That was a comedy no-no. So I don't know if this Bailey's credit involves us.
Saying the joke
because then we got reined in.
We did.
So what you're about to hear, because we never hear these bits before we play them, what you're about to hear is either us talking about how Bailey's is a sports drink.
No.
Which would be awesome.
I reckon it will be because the only time we got rained in was when we did a live show from your house.
And I reckon this is, but I think we got rained in beforehand.
Really, we had to read verbatim the Bailey's credit.
So here's my thing. If this is in the days leading up to your house, I think the whip has been cracked. If not, we'll hear sports drink stuff. So this could just be a very boring ad for Bailey's.
The 8th of March, 2010.
Hey, I've got an idea for what we can do Thursday night before our Bye Bye Try Biathlon, where we're going to do 24 sports in a row.
I was thinking of tapering.
What do you mean?
Just not doing any training, not doing any weights. I probably won't do any boxing.
But you've done that for years.
Yeah, that's what I'm. That's what I always do. I'm a good taperer.
Going to finish off my 28-year taper.
Just really bring it to a close because we've got a lot of sports to do over the weekend, Andy.
Hey,
we're not even having a weekend, really.
I've got an idea.
Just sportsing it up.
I've got an idea. So confident with the idea, I even went and got a sponsor.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
My idea.
It's not Sony, is it?
No. Don't say others.
Oh, no. Hope they don't send us a massive TV for mentioning them.
You can't do that.
I said, I hope they don't.
this is going to annoy the sponsor that I've actually got.
Who have we got?
Well, no, I've got.
Okay, who have you got?
And I'll tell you the idea after. So Bailey's. Treat yourself tonight.
Oh, great. I love the idea. I already love it if Bailey's is on.
But I'll tell you my idea after this.
Okay.
Thanks to Bailey's. Nothing to do with the other company you mentioned.
I said I don't want that from them.
Maybe you should end.
That's where it started.
So and no do you know wonder what? Why we're calling it a sports drink.
Because we got them to sponsor something to do with our weekend of 36 sports or whatever it was.
We went and played in 36 different teams. You nominated your team. We flew around the country and we played... how many sports? 36 were there?
Hang on, it was a bye-bye, so that's 4, try, 12, bye, 24.
Yep.
Bye-bye, try, biathlon. Yep. 24 sports in a week. You had to play for at least half the game with your like uni or high school or social team or whatever.
Yep.
And it absolutely cooked us.
Oh, do you know,
I still occasionally see a guy called Dave who played for the UNSW football team.
All right.
Sometimes he will often reintroduce himself to me, like, I was your captain for footy.
That's great. Well, no, I was hoping it was more sports, but it makes sense why we're talking about sports.
That was a fun. It was. I just wanted to take that quick detour because I still think of Bailey's as a sports drink, and then I also remember how much they did not wish for that to be their positioner. Going back to 2007, Ando, couldn't pass this up. This is Hamish and Andy. History. This is Hall of Fame stuff.
Right.
It simply is three words. The ant fart.
Oh.
Before we listen to it, Mike, do you want to do the actual sponsorship stuff? Because we've had Sony, we've had Bailey's, let's have the real sponsors. and then we'll hear when someone recorded an ant farting for us.
Thanks, Mike.
Sets
and,
the scene.
And good of you not to hurry it through because I know you would want to have got to this bit of audio.
No, you kept your head.
Yeah. let's play.
The 8th of March, 2007.
Heading into what will be groundbreaking radio, not only for this program, but worldwide.
It's a world first and, look, we're very excited to be able to do it.
Poco, how are you, mate?
Good, mate. How are you?
Really good. Now, you have contacted us here and you have sent us audio. How did you go about recording an ant fart?
All right, mate. Look, let me tell you, it's nothing that you can't buy at Tandy.
Yep.
It took a little while to sort of put together and come up with the idea.
Mm.
But I think it was well worth it.
What sort of microphone did you use?
Very small one, mate. Very small one. It's basically something out of a hearing aid.
Mm-hmm.
And we also incorporated a Roland sensor out of a drum kit, an electronic drum kit.
That's good. I assumed it would be a very small microphone. I didn't think you'd just sort of take an ant to a karaoke night, pop him on the microphone and hope for a bit of a...
We did try.
Now, Poco, I mean, we're so rapt that you undertook this experiment for us. Tell us, how did you know and how long did you have to wait for the ant to pass wind?
It took about 2.5 hours waiting for the ant, and then we realised we had to feed it something else.
Yeah. Did you have anyone knock on your door and go, "Hey, Poco, what are you doing in there?" "Just waiting for an ant to fart. I'll be out in a second." And were you with a group of people, or did you sit there by yourself?
Yeah, by myself, mate.
Don't know why, mate. Don't know why. This Poco. Is a great thing to do on a first date.
Poco, what did you feed the ant?
Okay, a little bit of sugar.
Yep.
Yep.
With a tiny little diuretic tablet crushed up.
David, a diuretic as well.
Brilliant. Brilliant idea, Poco.
And we had to take into consideration, you know, the ant. We didn't want to give it too much and kill it.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, you don't want word getting out that Poco's fart laboratory kills its subjects. Otherwise, all the other insects won't join up so you can record them.
That's right, mate. That's right. We need other noises and, you know, we need other insects. We don't want word getting around.
So, Poco, one last question. Did you just have one single ant or did you have a few out there?
We had three ants that we selected.
Yep.
And let me say, mate, any other time it's easy to come across an ant, but when you actually need one, very hard to find.
Yeah. Now, did you have a name? Do you know which one it was, dropped its guts?
No, mate. Sample A, sample B, sample C.
Good, professional.
Pocket, can I ask you, what type of ants did you try and track down?
Initially, we looked for a boar.
Yep.
Couldn't get one of those, so we just went for the little tiny black ones.
Good.
The ones that sort of raid your cupboard for the night.
Yeah, I'm glad it's a good little ant, because for some part of me goes, yeah, bull ants would fart, but I don't know about the other ones.
Absolutely. And Poco, my other question being, obviously, with, you know, air conditioners going on, a lot of ambient sounds and so on in everyday life, how did you get something quiet enough to be able to pick up an ant farting?
Well, mate, I think when it's the footage, you hear some outside noise. We couldn't avoid that because the amplification of the fart itself, it sort of also picks up every other noise, you know, even breathing, everything else.
Wow.
Like wind crossing the room.
Yeah, no, look, you've done absolutely sensationally, Poco. Ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that everybody associated with the Hamish and Andy Show, and with special thanks to Poco,
I love you, Mum.
Amateur recording enthusiast who has sent this in and recorded this for us. Keep it together, big guy.
Yeah.
It is with great pleasure we now ask you to turn your radios up, lean in, because in a few seconds' time, what you'll hear is static.
Well, Poco has outlined exactly the audio you will hear.
There'll be a few seconds of static, then the noise you hear at the end is, for the first time to human ears, an ant farting.
Mm, now, static, you'll hear a lot of, obviously, air and room sounds, and then you'll hear what can only be described as broadcasting history.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yes! I don't know if we have to go through official channels to get a broadcasting award. I don't know if they just hand them out immediately. Can we hear the ant fart again?
If you didn't hear it the first time, it sounds probably more like a small burp.
It's static, and then it's the noise right at the end. If everyone very quiet, let's hear it again.
Oh, gosh.
I can't believe
it's an outstanding moment. We'll see what Poco and how Poco feels about this wonderful achievement in radio history. Thank you very much, Poco. How did you feel it was delivered?
Mate, very good, very good. I'm a little emotional. I just want to thank you guys, you know.
Oh, no, Poco, we want to thank you, and I'm sure all the listeners that haven't fainted want to thank you as well.
It is amazing. Where were you when the first ant fart was broadcast? Thank you so much to Poco. It is amazing. And to take us out, Ham, we probably have to do.
Well, Andy, before we go to a song, I was just wondering if you could pull this ant's finger for me. Hey, actually, Andy, I was just wondering if maybe you could sit on this tiny whoopee cushion.
Yeah, okay.
It was better than I remembered.
I'll be honest. I remembered we did a huge build-up, but it still got me how fast it was. The gurgle.
And whether that's an ant farting or not, who knows?
Poco sold it well.
Yeah. There was no I didn't even remember meeting Poco or background checks.
Would have loved to go send us a picture of the setup.
Yeah.
But he explained it so clearly.
Yeah.
And we're just like, well, I think he's really done it.
Great remembering. Oh.
Enjoyed this trip down memory lane? If you want to listen to the full back catalogue of radio shows from 2006 to 2017, you can subscribe to Hamish and Andy Unlimited on Apple Podcasts. Or, for Android users, grab the Hamish and Andy app on Google Play.